So the more that I look at myself, Morgan, on this Zoom screen, the more that I do think that Steve was right and I look like Big Bird in this sweater.
I think you look beautiful.
Do you? I don't know. Well, guys, we're back.
Was there anything during your divorce that you were like, wow, I didn't know that?
Once the divorce papers are signed, it's a whole new ballgame.
And this is How Not to Suck at Divorce. It's your girls, Morgan and Andrea. We're going to talk to you about how not to suck at divorce. And unfortunately, we're still apart.
That's okay. We look like we're together because I see your face and we're ready to go today.
We are. We are. And it's morning. It's morning, guys. It's early. We just, because of our schedules, we had to get this recording in early on a Friday morning. So sadly, we're not drinking cocktails yet. Although from the sound of how both of our days are going, I think we could use it.
True, true. We're guzzling coffee, but we're fresh. We're ready to go.
We are. We are. We are. We are dressed on top and pajamaed on the bottom, exactly how we should be. So, okay. I am really excited because we just recorded our guest segment and guys, you were going to love it. This guy that we are talking to, he is so just honest and funny and gives you the real deal. So I cannot wait to get to that part for you guys. Honestly, honestly, honestly. But before we do, let's do our top game.
The rom-com and the horror movie.
Morgan, you want to go first?
Yes. And I always start with horror film because let's get the bad over with first. So this week, I think Andrea posted something on her page that was so poignant. And to the point was essentially that she never really rests, that she's always running herself ragged. She doesn't know how to relax. She attributes her not resting to her anxiety. And I kind of step back and I realize, I don't know that I have anxiety, but I really don't know that I ever rest. And a trick or something that you should know about any divorce lawyer is any good divorce lawyer thinks about their cases in the middle of the night, in the shower. You wake up stressing about other people's cases. And so I realized this week I haven't sat down. It has been crazy. And I have been worrying about my clients. And therefore, my horror film is, it just caught up with me. I know, dun, 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 a cold. I don't have coronavirus. I know it's shocking, but colds do exist. And so if I sound more nasally and my voice is more annoying than my normal Chicago accent, it's for real. And I'm sorry about that. But this is my horror of the week.
You know what? Because it does catch up with you. That's the thing. Like our bodies will find a way to get our attention.
Agreed.
Us to rest. Two things. Number one, not a single person listening to this podcast is going to find your voice annoying by comparison to mine. Honestly.
You said it. I did not say
that. Girl, I can't help it. This is what my voice sounds like. But like when I listen to our show, like when you talk, it's like, oh, okay. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to da 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 da. And then when it's me, it's like, yeah, da, 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 da. Oh God. Our listeners are probably waiting for me to get a cold. They're like, please bring that down a register. One other thing is, I talked about my issues with not being able to rest in therapy this week. And something that my therapist told me to try is an active rest. So instead of just trying to sit down and watch a movie, which I cannot do, she said, what if you did something wow? Like if you go back to those like adult coloring books or something, so you're still kind of doing something to help your body unwind. So I don't know, for what it's worth. What was your rom-com?
My rom-com was just kind of taking some perspective of my life this week. And I would say that I found a quote and I put it on my Instagram and I just keep looking at it. And I think it's so good to remind yourself. It basically says, I'm grateful. I woke up. I have clothes to wear. I have running water and heat. I have food to eat. Life is good. I am blessed. And you know what? Sometimes you just have to take a step back. So I would say the positive of the week is that I've taken a step back. I looked at that. It really hit home this week. And I'm hoping that I can keep this positivity into the weekend.
I love that that is your rom-com. And I feel like that just shows people how like the dichotomy between the two of us, because you would never hear me pull out a quote like that. I don't think any Jew would pull out a quote like that. First of all, we don't use the phrase blessed. Like we just, that makes me like, I think I'm actually allergic to it. And we're never like, it would be like, I have running water. I wish it were warmer, but you know, whatever. I like, we can't, like, I can't just see things for the
positive. One positive plus one complaint. That's the Jewish motto. No,
it's one positive for two complaints, I think. Oh God, but God bless you, Morgan. And God has blessed you.
That's right. I'm here. I woke up and you know, all the good stuff. So give us yours. Why don't we start with your horror first?
My horror is actually something that we touch on in our interview coming up with Mr. Rob Roseman. My horror is kind of my horror of every week, which is my Thursday night transfer. It's not good. It's not good. Hasn't been good. It's really hard for my family. And by transfer, I'm talking about when my kids go to their dad. So my kids go to their dad every Thursday night at 5:40 on the dot. Don't get it twisted. It's not 5:41, it's 5:40. And it's tough. This week we tried something new where my son's therapist put together a script for us to follow, because that's where we're at. So not good, but it's okay. It's a work in progress and we are working. And the one thing that I will say that I am doing is trying something new, right? Because if the same thing isn't working, you have to change it up. So horror moment. My rom-com also involves my kids. And it's, it was yesterday. Oh my gosh, same day. Yesterday morning before school, my older son was playing a song on Alexa. And we had like an impromptu dance party where both of my boys were singing at the top of their lungs. And it was so fun. And it was just a moment of like, I don't know, like huge smiles and like levity. And it was magical. So I'm going to hold on to that for a while.
That's amazing. Yes. Well, I mean, I think that our listeners are going to like our next guest. So let's bring him on, the first male talking about a divorce that we've had on the show.
Dun, 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 dun. Here comes a breath of fresh air, ladies and gentlemen. We are speaking to a divorced man on today's show. And I'm not sure why that felt really strange to say. I'm not sure why it did, but I think it's because that in this divorce space, well, online at least, it feels like it's really a female-dominated situation.
And you know, I've been talking to Andrea over the last few months, and I've been wanting to share a male perspective for a long time, because as most people know, I represent men and women, and both parties' stories are so important. So I'm so glad that we have someone on today who not only went through a divorce, but is also a public figure in the divorce world and a fellow podcaster.
It is true. His name is Rob Roseman, and he's the guy behind the popular podcast, WTF Divorce. Actually, Rob, I'm going to bring you in here. Do you say WTF Divorce, or do we say the big boy words?
Depends the audience, but I like to say what the fuck divorce, WTFdivorce.com, because it's memorable. You know, you can remember what it is.
Right. Exactly. Well, that was the voice right there, guys. So Rob and I have become friends over the last few months, and I feel like his honesty and his sense of humor is exactly what our listeners are going to love about him.
Rob, nice to meet you. Thank you for talking to us today and giving us your take on how not to suck at divorce, or really how not to suck at life after divorce.
Yeah, it'd be incredible if we could learn this before divorce. So I think what you guys are doing is so valuable. And if you can help one person, you're really making things easier for a lot of people.
That's true. So Rob, I want to take you back. Let's go to the very beginning. Okay. Let's talk about when you knew that it was time to end your marriage. What do you remember about that time? Can you give us some like of the specific feelings and thoughts that really stood out to you or stand out to you?
Yeah, and I have to say, I have not publicly spoken about this. I've talked about this with friends, but I do feel like I have a good relationship with my ex, so it is okay to talk about it. And you have such a different perspective with a little hindsight. But yeah, we had an interesting end to our marriage in that it wasn't particularly obvious. It wasn't like a one or a two on a scale where it's like, we got to get divorced, or this person's a narcissist, or this person cheated. We had a, it was in a lot of ways more confusing because it was just kind of in that middle to low ground that as a dad to three kids at the time under seven, five, and three, I was like, isn't this just what normal people are going through? We have kids. Is anybody that happy? Is anybody having sex every night like right, they are on TV?
Right.
So we decided to go to couples therapy and gave that a, you know, good college try. And there wasn't fighting, but there was just kind of a growing ambivalence about it. And I think it was like at this point where, you know, with young kids especially, we're like, oh, we'll stick it out like a lot of people do, get to when they're teenagers. But both my ex and I are pretty decisive action takers. And I think we saw the writing on the wall and said, if we're going to do this, maybe let's just jump into this and do it now.
So Rob, you just brought up a really interesting point that I want to hit with you, which is, you know, talking about the legal aspect of divorce, can you give our listeners a sense of whether you thought about staying because you had three little children at the time? Were you thinking maybe I should just stick it out because I have these three little kids at home, at least till they get older?
And also, Rob, how old were your kids? Just to kind of give our listeners a sense of exactly what you were working with.
Yeah, 7, 5, and 2. We had pretty recently moved cities. So we're just in a lot of transitions. And yeah, again, I think as a guy, from what I found out too, I think women really initiate, whether directly or indirectly, divorces. I saw stats that it could be 80 to 90% of women actually are, you know, the decision makers when it comes to that kind of thing.
Morgan, is that something that you've found? Is that true for you?
That's interesting. I would say, I wouldn't say that that's what I see all the time, but I appreciate any statistics. I love looking at statistics, but from my practice personally, I don't really always see that, but I will say that women are taking a more leading role in general over the last, I would say, 8 to 10 years. Yeah. So Rob, going back, I mean, did you think like, I have these little kids at home, I should just suck it up? This marriage may not be perfect, I'm not really super happy, but I should just stick it out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just thought that's what people did. You don't know what's going on behind closed doors. I'm like, I talked to my friends, they're living pretty similar of lives. So yeah, I just thought we ride it out. But you know how things are, like, are they going to magically get better? Or is this what we're looking at? And then is it going to slowly erode? And then does infidelity, the odds of that increase? So all these things are weighing in my mind. So I was thinking, like, on the one hand, this is crazy, but on the other hand, you know, I come from a background, I was a Las Vegas poker pro, so I'm always weighing odds and risk reward, and I'm like trying to evaluate a situation, and I just wasn't sure in this spot.
Is that why I can't read your face right now?
Absolutely, yeah, I'm a tough read.
So the question I...
Oh, I'm so sorry, Morgan. I was about to make a really poor joke, and now I'm going to go ahead and make it. So, Rob, you had to know when to hold him and know when to fold him.
Oh, that's so good, Andrea. I've sang that song many a nights by myself. Know when to walk away and know when to run. Kenny Rogers. It's great advice. It really is.
Do you want to sing it for us?
I think Andrea could do a better job of it.
I think I'd like to hear it in Rob's voice, actually.
Oh.
Rob, you owe me this, and I'll tell you why, because I'll fill everybody in on a fun background story. So when I went on your podcast, yeah, nodding, here we go. Morgan's going to love this. When I went on your podcast, we did it via Zoom, and I had just landed from being out of town. Like, I had like a 4 a.m. flight or something ridiculous. I got home, I jumped in the shower, I had wet hair, I hop on Zoom, we meet for the first time, we do our call. And then, like, I don't know, 2 weeks later, however long it took, I get a very strange message on my Instagram that was a video of us chatting with me looking like a wet dog. And I had no idea, Morgan, that Rob uses the Zoom footage, the video and everything to promote the episode. So
I thought you looked good, Andrea.
Showered that day.
I did not. No, you did not.
You showered. You looked good. You keep it real. That's why I knew you were cool with it.
Morgan, you know what's so funny is that I was sitting with Jesse, our photographer, when I got this message, and the cackle that came out of her mouth, like just knowing, you know, like I'm an image consultant. This is what I do. And she's like, way to go there, image consultant. She's like, what message are you putting out there?
Hashtag so, nailed it.
Hashtag nailed it. So anyway, I won't make you sing, Rob, but it would have been really nice.
I know.
So,
Thank you, Rob.
Do owe you one. Yeah. Well, I will say that usually my podcast is like a conversation. And once we start talking, I'm like, oh, that was so good. I just learned something. Can I just hit record? Would you mind? And usually people are like, no, sure. They probably don't know I'm going to end up sharing it, but it's so valuable. Andrea's just dropping bombs all the time. I'm like, somebody has to hear this.
That's so good. Okay. So Rob, I'm taking you back. So all of our listeners, or I would say the majority that I speak to, one of their questions that they want to know. So you thought I maybe shouldn't leave this marriage because I have little kids at home. You ended up leaving the marriage for your own reasons. And were the kids okay? Are they okay?
Yeah, they're doing great. I mean, that conversation is just brutal. Like my ex and I sat everybody down. We did it the right way. We looked it up and, you know, oldest definitely got a little teared up. The younger two are kind of too young to know, which was something we did think about. Like, maybe this is better to do when they're young. Maybe this is a lot harder when they're 14 and 16 and moving schools. So I think in a lot of ways we did evaluate it and think maybe let's just rip the Band-Aid off now. But it was a tough conversation, but I think we handled it well as co-parents, which we hadn't even really started at the time. But the kids are doing really well. But you never know because they're kids.
That's so interesting. And, you know, one thing I love it from your perspective, who's been through it. Andrea also has given hers before. And we have somebody in the next few podcasts coming on that's a actual therapist that talks to us about how the children take in this information. But what I want to ask you, Rob, is about the legal system. Was there anything during your divorce that you were like, wow, I didn't know that? Or, whoa, could somebody have told me that? It would have been so much easier. Can you share that with our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, I think you go in so blind and you just follow the, what do I have to do? I guess I get an attorney. I had never even heard of this mediation or collaborative or all these other things. And, you know, you find out lawyers, sometimes you haven't, it's almost like going on a date. You don't really know who they are. You haven't had a good chance to vet them. You're emotionally charged. I guess the first thing I saw is, holy shit, this is expensive. Every time I pick up the phone and talk about something, it's costing me money. So I had to learn. Luckily, I had a friend who's a divorce attorney who was a really good guide, but he always said, look, every state is different. You need to talk to your attorney. But basically learning, like, slowly try not to use your attorney as a therapist. Don't send them 7-page emails about this, that, and the other. But it's overwhelming because your rational brain is just mostly shut down because it's so emotional, the finances, the kids, the emotions. And we had a relatively clean one, but I can't imagine. I give a lot of empathy to anybody going through it because you just don't know unless you've been through it.
I totally agree with you. So Rob, being the first divorced dad that we've had on the show, I want to ask you something that may be a little taboo, but I hear it a lot. And I really want to know your perspective, especially from a father's perspective. So some men feel that they're starting from what I can tell behind the eight ball with regards to obtaining parenting time with their children, because some men, whether it's right or not, perceive the legal system as old school or behind the times, meaning, you know, if they, God forbid, wanted to ask for 50-50, there's no way a judge would allow for that. Personally, where I am in Chicago, I find it to be a little bit more progressive. We are, the courts are more open to giving equal parenting time, but I have heard other jurisdictions are different. So what I want to know is, you're a dad. Did you worry, oh my gosh, I'm going to go to court, and because I'm a dad, I'm going to get way less time than I ever wanted?
I worried about it a little, but because of the relationship and I was very involved with my kids, I kind of knew that we were going for 50-50, and where we are in Georgia, that's, I think, the route they usually take if things are, all things being equal. But what I found is, and I think there's also like, and women and men are both like this, our egos, we want this. We want to make sure we get the medical or school or this. So we're almost, we don't even know why we're fighting for it, but we know we want it. And maybe we know we don't want the other person to have total control. So while we did have a really amicable one where we did a good split, and we changed our schedule 8 times. It was 2-2-3, 7-7, 2-2-5. It's just like a circus to keep up with. But what I found is while we did distribute it equally, once that turns into reality, and this is a big thing I've found, is once the divorce papers are signed, it's a whole new ball game, a whole new problem you've got to solve. And I think while I took on 50-50, I did feel, and I think I'm a really good dad, I have moments every day where I'm just like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I'm overwhelmed. Little ones always calling for mommy. When somebody falls, it's I want mommy, and I've got to deal with that. Like, it's just these places. And again, while we get along well, I can't tell you how many times I write this text like to her, like, can you help with this? Can you do this? And I just stare at it and I'm like, just delete it and just let it pass. But I think for men especially, it's very overwhelming. We've got 3 kids. And while we want to think we can handle it, there's a lot of times where it's just a lot. And I think we miss that female figure, that mother figure in the life of the family that we don't really know how to fill.
You know, that's so great that you talked about that, because Andrea and I are both moms. And I know at times I feel the same way, you know, help. I'm drowning here. Today's a really bad day. So thanks for being honest, actually, that you wanted to go to your ex and say, help me. But, you know, something stopped you. Andrea, did you have something to comment? I'm sure you do.
Well, I wanted to ask you something, Rob. You mentioned that you were switched up your arrangement, like you went from 2-3-2 to, you know, whatever numbers you threw out. I kind
one,
of
one 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 one.
Yeah, I really was like, huh? But what stood out to me was the fact that you were able to change it. So did you not have a parenting agreement in place that was signed and filed, and that's how you guys were able to say, let's just figure out what works best for us? Or tell me a little bit about that.
Well, again, we got along pretty well. Obviously, there's tension even in those spots. And we did agree to, I think, a 2-2-5 in the beginning. And then quickly, it was like, 5 is a long freaking time for a dad to be with a 2-year-old girl. And I just couldn't. So I'm like, let's start to make it a little more frequent. And then that got like chaotic. So we did have a good relationship where we could change it. But I know most people aren't in that. But I think with young kids, it's important, especially like they need to see their mom, and like to be able to check your ego a little bit and say, you know, I need help, or how can I help you? Well, it's very unusual, I guess, in the context of divorce, like you're constantly just having to check your ego and think what's best for the kids, even though I can't stand having to ask for help here. Like, we need to just put our swords down and just figure this out.
Yeah, man, I am not at all emotionally affected by what you just said, Rob. I am such a professional. So that is really, really important, though, that people really listen to what Rob just said about the fact that you have to think about what's really going to work for your children, right? This is not about what works for us. These parenting agreements are for the kids. So if you realize my 4-year-old boy needs to see his dad more often, this is just not feeling right, well, then make those changes, people. Okie dokie. And that's all Andrea is going to say about that.
I agree. I will just put my 2 cents in. I agree. It's not about you. It's about your children.
And easier said than done. And I will say the first year or so, it's just going to be impossible to really get there mentally, because you're just holding on to these emotions from the divorce. If there was infidelity, which we didn't have, but like, I can't imagine. So right. I give a lot of, like, I get annoyed when people are like, oh, just don't fight in front of the kids. Just do what's best for the kids. I'm like, F you, this is like, I get it. I would say the same thing, but easier said than done, but be willing to grow into it slowly.
It is, and I am very open about this. This is probably the only part of my divorce that was challenging, like really challenging, but it is so challenging. I just talked to you about this, Rob. Like, I'm 2 years into living in separate houses, and oh God, it's hard. So yeah. We are with you, people who did not have it as amicable as Rob did, but this is about the kids, people. All right, let's move this little party along. I want to talk for, well, my script says a minute, but let's be real. I want to talk for hours about something that's a lot more sexy, or, you know, or we could just talk about sex. I mean, you know, dating life. Let's talk about sex, baby. Rob, this is a topic that you and I have talked about a lot. And really, because we're both in happy relationships now. And so, you know, you want to talk about like, oh, things are so good. I love this, blah, blah, blah. But you said to me the other day on the phone that it was really tough for you to find people that you wanted to hang out with during your divorce and post-divorce, because in the age group that you and I are in, our friends are married. Our friends have kids, right? They're living that, like, they're living that dad life. So they couldn't necessarily relate to what you had going on. So something that you said that I thought was so interesting is that that gave you even more motivation to go out and date, right? Like get into the dating. Is that right? Like, what, I mean, I feel like I was kind of jumbled in what I just said, but that is kind of what we were talking about, right?
No, 100%. And I think women are better at kind of easing in. I need time. I need a year. I need to go just sit at home and watch Harry Met Sally and eat popcorn by myself with my girlfriends. I can't speak for all guys, but I know we very quickly, maybe within a week, are signing up for the apps and just like, because we're lonely. We need validation. We need our egos are battered. So I think, well, I mean, I can't even remember
talking about this. I'm so happy.
Oh yeah. It's like, I think men are just like, we don't have the same support system in a lot of ways. So we're going to rely on dating, and it's exciting. It's fun. That's what my friends want. They want the highlight reel. They're like,
what you got, Morgan?
Rob, I love this because I literally just had a conversation with a client 2 days ago. It's a male client, and exact thing. He was telling me he has no friends that he feels like he can turn to. So he had a date Thursday night, a date Friday night, but Saturday was open. And what was he going to do Saturday night?
Yeah.
So here I am trying full service to find him something to do, pumping him up like, we got this. You can find something to do Saturday night.
I don't know why it's so hard.
Divorce attorney and dating concierge service, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, there's so much to it, and it's like, and we also know, like, don't use dating as a way to be your therapy. You know, don't use dating. I did meet a lot of like women that ended up being good friends. I mean, a funny story, like right when I got divorced, I did wait till I was divorced to get on the apps. And I was proud of myself for that. But like one of the first people I met, you know, you have that first conversation where she's like, so how long have you been divorced? I'm already stumbling over it. But I was like, look, this is a new world. I'm going to be honest. I was like, 3 weeks. And she just started like cracking up. So I knew we'd get along, and we ended up having a really good connection. But it's, we don't wait as long as we should, but we just don't know what to do with ourselves, I think, as men in general.
So Rob, let's turn, I love having you as a guest, just so you know, this is just the best.
I know, so, let's bring Rob back. I don't think we've had enough of Rob.
Dating app stories could be an entire chapter of what men are doing on these apps. Insanity.
Hold on. Will you give us one tiny story before we move on to the next question? Because this is what people want to hear.
Well, they're all jumbled, but I have like been to I did recently go to a little barbecue party with a friend, and maybe the first person that I ever went on a date with was at this party, and we had a good, okay. And I told her at the time, I was like, you know, you were the first person I ever went on a date with. And she was just dying laughing. And the host, my friend, was like, I cannot believe you guys know each other. But you know, you go to the bar even, and you're looking at somebody and you're like, I've swiped you before. Or somebody's like, do I know you?
Before.
Yeah. It's insanity. It's insanity.
Oh. That's so good, Rob. So I guess I want to turn it. I mean, I could stay on dating all day long, but I guess I want to turn it to your podcast, which is kind of a unique format. It's very quick conversations. And, you know, for our listeners who may go jump over to your podcast, what I want to know is, was there any person that you had on that you had a conversation with that just totally blew your mind? An unexpected story, something that you were like, wow, that just happened.
I think a lot of it's just like how relatable it is, especially I try to have guys on because I'm like, no guys are talking about this. And I got into this world through Instagram of all places, and then Clubhouse, and I connected with this group, Divorced Over 40, where the founder is a guy. And I was just like, I couldn't believe what I was hearing because I never heard anybody talk about this stuff. So to me, it was like this therapy slash connection that I was getting. And I just knew that it would be so helpful for guys to just hear that other people were going through it. And, you know, what I also learned, like you guys said before, women are going to make up 80% of this audience of consuming and self-improving after divorce. So I said, and my girlfriend's like, I want to hear this stuff too. So I did kind of flip it to, we're talking to men and women, because also the man is going to be parenting your kids. The man is going to be somebody you're going to be dating somebody that's probably divorced. So like, it's so important to get men and women kind of up to speed in this thing, because they're going to be such integral parts of your life.
So give me a guy, give me an example. Give me a guy that you had on the show that while you were recording said something and you were like, wait, whoa.
Yeah. I had a rabbi actually on the show, and I was blown away by the fact that like, oh my God, there's like a 40-year-old cool rabbi that's like out there having, you know, sexual encounters. And he's telling me about how he's discovering himself in these ways. And I was like, whoa, I didn't even know rabbis talk like this. But look, he's like, I'm divorced too. I'm a man. I'm with young kids. I've been in this bubble for a long time. So it was just like, it was again, like, they're just like us, right? Anybody that's going through divorce is going through these same issues.
My jaw, I'm recording us right now because I wish I would have had my phone out earlier for when you said like something about a rabbi out there discovering himself. Because I have to say, one of our, like, my kids both went to a Jewish preschool. And so we all used to joke about the rabbi there because he's a young, nice, fun guy. And we're like, I wonder what it would be to date, you know, Rabbi so-and-so. And so he was always married, so it was never going to happen. But I love it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Rob, I am so glad that we had you on today. I mean, it's like, I don't know, Morgan, don't you feel like Rob wins the award for like guest we love or something?
Yes, it's a breath of fresh air. Thank you. You said it right. There's so many guys that need this, you know, information, but not so many that are willing to talk about it and put themselves out there and actually that are really funny like you are. So we loved having you today.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Well, yeah, it is kind of like my mission to make this more accessible to people, to, like you guys do, normalize, destigmatize divorce, because look, half the married people are going through this. Half the people are getting, my friend has a saying, he's like, he thinks 50% of people are getting divorced. 40% of people just don't have the nerve to get divorced. 5% of them are just completely numb. So he's like, I think there's 5 to 7% of people that are like truly happy out there. So there's a huge population that we can be serving and helping. So I think it's really important what you guys are doing.
Well, shit, Rob, that's really uplifting. Your friend sounds like a real fun guy to have at a dinner party.
He's in that 5%. He's in that 5%, he says.
Oh, is he? Good for him. Mazel to your friend. Look, but just like your friend, you and I are huge proponents of not bullshitting people. So I love that you gave our listeners the real deal. But speaking of, if our listeners want to know more from you, give us the info. Where can they go and stalk you online?
Yes, I appreciate that. Well, I do have a podcast, WTF Divorce. We're really trying to blow up our site, WTFdivorce.com, where we're kind of housing all of this content because, Andrea, not everybody is on Instagram and TikTok, and sometimes they need a easier place to go to. So I try to send everybody to WTFdivorce.com. Sign up your email. We give up, you know, weekly updates, weekly our favorite content, funny memes. We kind of laugh about it, and we also get serious about it because I think you got to have a mix of both. It's got to be like funny and also what the F, you know, like I like to be deep, but also like be able to laugh about it. So on Instagram, WTF Divorce. But yeah, I really appreciate what you guys are doing and just keeping this conversation going.
Rob, you and any of your male counterparts are welcome on our show anytime. Thank you again for coming on.
I'm going to send you that rabbi your way, Andrea.
I mean, not that I want to have like an intimate, and I can't even say it. Like, oh my, I'm like sweaty right now. I'm sweaty in my in my big bird sweater. I would love to talk to that rabbi. Actually, truthfully, I would love that. So yes. Thank you.
Both.
And Shabbat shalom.
And goodbye.
Bye, Rob. Thank you.
Bye. Thanks, guys.
Okay, everybody. We talked to Rob Roseman today, and I think that everyone will find him interesting, a breath of fresh air, and somebody who gave us a different perspective. The first guy who's willing to talk with us, at least openly, about his divorce. And Andrea, I think you can agree with me. It was pretty great.
I love him. It was fun. It's fun. And I think that, and I hope that you guys agree. And actually, while we're talking about it, let us know, like reach out to us and let us know if you love hearing these kind of more raw, honest conversations, because we love bringing that to you, but we also want to make sure that we're giving you guys what you want. So just give us that feedback. But yeah, it's so interesting hearing the perspective from someone that's not, you know, a mom, because that's typically what we hear, but that's not representative of who your clients are and who's getting divorced. I mean, it takes two people. We got to hear both sides.
Exactly. All right. So we're in our final segment.
Decline to comment.
Which we do our rapid fire questions. It's five questions for the other hosts that we ask rapid style. We have to answer immediately, no thinking, no pauses. And if we don't want to answer because legally we probably shouldn't answer, we can say decline to comment. Are you ready, Andrea?
I am ready, Morgan.
Launch the questions.
Okay. Morgan, what is your current jam song?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, God.
I would say because I'm in Kidland in Canto, we don't talk about Bruno.
Oh, God.
No.
Okay.
Keep going. You cannot stop. Let's go.
Pizza. Okay. Pizza toppings.
Pepperoni.
Oh, simple. Like it. How do you take your coffee?
With almond milk.
Same girl, same. The craziest thing that a couple has fought over.
Olive oil.
Oh my God. That's right. We talked about that.
Ketchup.
Give me ketchup and olive oil. Condiments. Not to be confused with condoms. What, give me a dream vacation, a vacation you haven't yet taken that would be your ideal getaway.
I would love to go all over, I would say South Africa.
South Africa. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Morgan did not have to decline to comment.
Okay. Andrea's turn. You ready?
Ready, babe.
Do you prefer hot or cold?
What do you mean? Being hot or cold?
Hot or cold outside?
Oh, cold outside.
Okay. Snow or rain?
Snow.
Would you rather be freezing or really sweaty?
Freezing.
Do you prefer a ski vacation or a beach vacation?
Okay, well, I've neither.
Do you not vacation?
Actually, I don't. That's a triggering question. I have almost never had a vacation. Next question.
All right. Hopefully this doesn't trigger. Cheeseburgers or hot dogs?
Oh, cheeseburgers, 100%. I hate hot dogs.
Oh, me too, girl. Cheeseburgers all day long. Okay, so
I like rain. I have to change one of my, rain over snow. For sure, rain over snow. That's it.
Okay, well, we've done it then. Thank you. So everybody, thank you for listening in. We absolutely love and appreciate every single one of you. We know that divorce is hard. We know it's draining. And we know that the unknown can feel scary. Our goal is to offer some guidance and at times some humor.
Levity, people. It's all about the levity. And ultimately, we are here to help you not suck at divorce.
Guys, please visit our website, www.hownottosuckatdivorce.com, for more information and how to reach us. And follow us personally on Instagram. I am at Divorce Attorney Chicago.
And I am at the Andrea Rappaport.
Tell your friends, tell your book club, heck, tell your ex about our show. We've had that happen because we're here to help everybody.
That's right, guys. And when you are in the thick of it, remember, it is day by day.
Or hour by hour.
You've got this, guys, and we have got you.
Bye.